Right now, it's time for Miriam Lieberman. She is here with her Cora and with Kate Adams and her cello and Lara Goodridge and her violin. And they're going to do a song which comes from Miriam Lieberman's latest CD. The song is called Garden in Your Heart.
Up the sea, weaving her ancient voice like a cradle under me, with her breath she sings for the rain to wash away our troubles when that river flows again. See when the river flows and the rain comes tumbling down. When the river flows, flowers bloom again. Build a garden. She whispers, don't give up, don't give in. For just as those swollen clouds will open, nothing will remain as it is. With a soul, she lights courage from a spark. Says, build the garden in your heart, build the garden in your heart. See when the river flows and the rain comes tumbling down. When the river flows, flowers bloom again. Build the garden.
That's a song called Garden in Your Heart. You can find it on a new CD called Birds of the Moon, which is actually being launched this very evening. But that was being performed live on today's music show by Miriam Lieberman, who was singing. It's her song, and she was also playing the cora. Kate Adams was playing cello, and Lara Goodridge was playing the violin, and they were singing too. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Now, we should begin. We should begin with the cora, shouldn't we? Because it's the sort of, I was going to say it's the elephant in the room. it's not quite that, but
it's got a long nose.
It has got a long nose, yes.
It's the pumpkin in the room.
Pumpkin in the room. Tell us, for it, there will be people listening to this who will be thinking, what's a cora? So maybe you could begin by describing the thing.
So the cora is a harp that comes from West Africa. It comes from the Manding, so from Gambia, Guinea, Mali, and also from Senegal. And it's an instrument that's made from a large gourd called a calabash in Africa. And it's covered over with buffalo hide over the top of the gourd. And then there's a big long neck that's got 21 pieces of fishing line attached to it, except for this green string, the big bass string, which is actually made out of whippersnipper.
Really?
Yes.
Seriously? Can you pluck it for us, the bass one? Beautiful.
And then it's got these two handles on either side. And the thing about the kora is, even though it's got quite a full sound because of the syncopated rhythm, it's actually only played with four fingers, with the thumb and index finger.
Right, because you've got to hold onto the handles.
Cause that's right.
Because you'll drop it otherwise.
Well, I hope not.
It'll roll off your knee. it's quite large. I mean, again, that's the other thing. For our listeners, it's that's a damn big gourd, actually, isn't it?
It is, and they grow even bigger in Africa.
Right.
Must be all that sun.
So it's actually resting on Miriam's knee with, of course, the strings on Miriam's side of it. And the, well, it's not exactly a fingerboard, I suppose, but the bit with the keys on the neck, thank you, that's the word I'm searching for, sticks up about half a metre above Miriam's head. I hope you've all got that picture firmly in your minds now. You don't just fall into playing the kora, do you?
Well, I kind of did, actually. I've always had a fascination with Africa and African music, and I went over there some years ago. The first time I went was just for 2 months. I was studying the music and also the dance, and then I came back again the following year. I was going to stay for a month, and I ended up staying for a year, which led to 2 years. But I started learning African music on guitar and songs. And even though I'd heard the kora before, I never thought I would become a kora player. But my teacher came from a long line of kora players, the teacher that was teaching me these guitar songs. And he said to me, I think you should learn kora. And I said, it's such a beautiful instrument, but it's, you know, obviously it's quite imposing. And I was like, maybe in another life. And he said, oh, no, I think you can do it. And he said, look, I'll teach you one song. And if you can't get that song, don't worry about it. We'll just keep learning these rhythms on the guitar. But if you get this song, I promise you, you'll never stop playing kora. And I started, and it was quite a difficult song, a song called Alalake, which means God has made it. And I don't plan to stop playing kora.
Right. So he was right.
He was right.
And Tumani Diabate, you worked with.
He's a teacher of mine, one of the most amazing kora players in the world. I was lucky enough to meet him at Womadelaide Adelaide a few years ago, having come back from living in Guinea. And I actually met him by chance and greeted him in his own language in Bambara, and he was so surprised and that this this Australian person would speak Bambara. And I ended up by telling him that I'd played a bit of kora, and he invited me to come to Africa and learn more with himself and his family. So I ended up getting a grant from the John Butler Foundation, a wonderful musician who supports other musicians to come up, which is great, and was able to study with him actually twice now for a few months at a time.
So maybe you could you demonstrate a few techniques? I mean, things that you can do on a kora?
The thing that's special about the kora is that you can do more than one rhythm. So
thank you. So this is because you've got two hands, in effect. You can do one rhythm with one hand and the other one with the other.
I kind of feel like playing the kora is a bit like weaving a basket, because the rhythms, sort of one rhythm will go under and then another rhythm will go over the top of it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. No, you couldn't do that on the guitar.
And no.
maybe Richard Thompson could, but that would be very hard, very hard. How much Africa gets into your music, would you say?
A lot. I think in this new album, because I've made a few albums previously in Africa and with Australian musicians as well, but this album, it's more subtle, the influence. So it's the rhythms in some of the songs and the kora, obviously. And then the kora, because of the strings, led to different melodies coming out. So... And also just that very syncopated feel. But I actually, on purpose, tried to pull it back from a really obvious reference to West African music. Mm. So there's more contemporary instrumentation, there's drum kit and electric bass, and then Cade and Lara's beautiful cello and violin. There's even a song with some synth sounds on it, which is like quite a different track on the album.
What about combining with violin and cello? I mean, is that just a piece of cake, or, I mean, are there tuning implications here?
With tuning, it's fine. Cade and Lara are such beautiful players, and we've spent so much time playing together. It sort of fits like a glove, I guess. It's about the people and what they hear from what I'm playing. So it's very intuitive.
Mm. And you've been working with Miriam for a while.
I've been working with Miriam for over 10 years now, since before she started the kora. And so it was natural for me to play with the kora then when
right.
she started that.
Yes, of course. Oh, right. Yes, of course. Right. Well, you've really been there the whole time in that case, yes. And Lara, who I should say has been on our show before as either Baby or Lulu. I've forgotten.
Lulu.
You were Lulu. is here as violinist. And how long have you been working with Miriam?
It's probably a couple of years now, maybe three already. I don't know. I'm very bad at keeping track of time. But it was also a very natural connection. And I've actually known Miriam since I was a child. I was very good friends with her two cousins, first cousins. And we ran into each other. I was actually on tour with Fourplay at a festival in Perth, outside of Perth, and we ran into each other. And we said, oh, let's just have a jam. And when we played together, it was just, there was something very beautiful and magical. So.
Yes. But you would just want to be around that instrument.
I did.
Apart from anything else, wouldn't you?
It was a bonus that it was played by Miriam.
The songs, I mean, a lot of the songs are about travel, which is perhaps not surprising.
Yeah, I've had the travel bug from a young age, and it's not a bug I'm planning to have leave. I think it's just such a wonderful thing to be able to live and learn in other cultures, and that's what I've spent a lot of my life doing. Also, I spent some time in India studying like Carnatic music and vocal music, and spent also a lot of time in South America, in different parts of South America. And I just feel like, why limit yourself to Western music? There's so much out there. And while, yes, I'm Australian and I was born here, and that's probably the biggest influence, but there is so much to learn. And that's the thing with music. It's limitless. It has no bottom. So you can just keep learning. And
your songwriting, how does it happen? I mean, different people obviously work in quite different ways. Some people will start with a fragment of melody and work on that, and that will start to kind of give them ideas about words. And then there are other people who set out to write a song about refugees, and then kind of they take it from sort of an idea. You know, and the music comes later.
So I rarely write from a theme that I've already decided. I usually will be jamming on like rhythmic or melodic structure on the kora or chords on the guitar that I like, and then it'll give me a feeling, and then I'll just start jamming with my voice and singing, and some kind of theme will come up. But with a couple of the songs, actually, it was really like, there's a song called Butterfly Boy, and also with Summertime, I remember I actually went to sleep and I had the song in my head, well, that melody in my head, and I woke up in the middle of the night and I was like, and just started writing down the lyrics. That doesn't happen that often, but it did happen.
Because it's very inconvenient, apart from everything else.
Lucky I've got a pen and paper in front next to my bed. Always have a pen and paper.
Cora players need their sleep. I'm going to ask you to put that down and pick up your guitar and do another song for us, which actually is also from the album. The one which I keep referring to as Crack of Doom, but it's actually Crack of Dawn, isn't it?
You can call it Crack of Doom, you don't mind.
Miriam Lieberman now with the guitar, Kate Adams on cello, Lara Goodridge violin, and this is a song from Birds of the Moon, which is being launched tonight at the Camelot Lounge in Marrickville in Sydney. I'll give some other dates after they've done the song. The song is called Crack of Dawn.
It's the crack of dawn I'm traveling along a dusty road. The moon is fading into light, opening these water-colored skies. I've so much left to learn. These are the days, give them the grace. These are the old days. These are the days, give them the grace. Passages of time. Open up your heart, they say, for with every wound there's wisdom to be gained. So we're open the door, and I open some more. Thank you.
Crack of Dawn, and that was live on today's music show. Miriam Lieberman was singing and playing the guitar. It was her song. Kate Adams was playing the cello and Lara Goodridge was playing the violin. And you can find that song on the album Birds of the Moon. And if you want to be there while it's launched, you can. If you're in Sydney, go to the Camelot Lounge in Marrickville tonight. If you're not in Sydney, but if you're in one of the following places, you can also hear them live because they're at the Blue Mountains at the Mechanics Institute in Lawson next Saturday night. And then they go to Wauchope in New South Wales, Wauchope, Taree, Newcastle, Bellingen, up to Byron Bay. On the 30th of August, and then in September there are performances in Darwin at the Darwin Railway Club on the 13th, and on the 21st of September at the Flying Saucer Club in Elstonwick in Melbourne. And you can find those dates and various links if you go to the music show's website. That's it for this week's music show. It was produced by Maureen Cooney and Jennifer Mills, technical production by Anne-Marie de Betancourt, Charlie McCune, Tim Simons, and Roy Huberman has been here filming this segment. So if you're still having difficulty imagining what a Cora looks like, you'll be able to see it for yourselves shortly. It'll be posted online not too distant future, and certainly by next week, I'm sure. That's it for this week's music show. I'm going to ask if we can be played out by Cora. Would you do the honours, please, Miriam?
Absolutely.